Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider View, episode 29. My name's Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening. Long time no see.
It is. Even longer than usual, which I think I say every single introduction.
Probably.
Now.
We're getting slower and slower at doing these podcasts, aren't we?
Yes, but the fewer, the higher quality.
True, because we certainly do have a lot to talk about today.
We do. So let's go straight into your fridge.
Four ciders this time around. It's going to start off with a Walkmill cider, which is Scottish, and it's their Muckletoon Rosie. I've also got here a cider from Laverstoke Park Farm in Hampshire. Got a Lazy Jack's American style cloudy cider. And we'll finish off with a Pilton Somerset Keeved cider. Right, let's
get started
with the Walkmill, shall we?
Yes, so this is a cider, Walkmill's Muckletoon Rosie, which we're both familiar with. We've actually had it many times before.
We have had this a few times before.
But we've not done a formal review of it in the show, so we're going to do that now.
I mean, we've had it, the Hanging Bat on, is it Lothian Road? Stocks Walkmills.
We've had it a few times there. We've also had it in the Cider Festival. I think I've also had it on... They had it in the Guildford Arms one
night. Yeah, they do. Guildford Arms are going through the occasional ciders. So this apparently is with 100% Scottish apples. Dry.
It is dry, but I like it. I'll be honest, the first time I tried it, I wasn't fussed by it. I really, really do like it now. It's not... I think there was a special edition version of Walkmills that I preferred when I had it at the festival, but I still think... It's got that kind of purity to it that I really like.
Do you know what? I'm trying it now, and I'm liking this a lot more than what I initially remember as well.
It's going to vary from season to season.
True. No, I do like this. I mean, it's fizzy, possibly.
Very slightly sparkling.
Well, I'm getting that kind of CO2-iness towards the end. It's almost as if there's a bit too much.
You think so?
Sparkling's going on.
Well, you think it's too much sparkling because it's quite a, in some ways, a traditional scrumpy. You feel it's a bit too fizzy for that.
I mean, the apple-y flavour does come through. A touch of tannins. It is actually nice. I'm liking this a lot more than when I first tried it. They do a range of different ciders. I think this is their most common one that you'll find. This is the first time I found a shop in Edinburgh that sells it.
Where'd you get it?
And I got this on Appalachian Wines, Comley Bank.
Ah.
Pete McLeod emailed in to tip us off that they had a selection of Walkmill cider.
Who's Pete McLeod? Do we know him?
Just a fellow listener.
Just a listener? Well, thank you, Pete McLeod. I was actually talking to somebody else about Appalachian Wines. But not Appalachian Wines in Comley Bank.
Yeah, they've got another store. Is it...
In Gorgie. And I think I was hearing from people at work, it's not too far away from where I work, that it's there's a good variety of beer. So I'm going to go and investigate the cider there. But I'm assuming it's the same as the shop you've just visited.
You'd assume so. But you know, I mean, they had a range of Walkmills, including one called, was it Clan McFanny?
Clan McFanny?
That is cider mixed with Iron Brew.
Right.
Which, as the guy in the shop put it, it might be a bit of a joke.
Yeah, but jokes can be... No, I don't see that one going down well. Mind you, it might be one of these things that you actually quite like, you just don't want to admit you like it.
It is interesting, though. I just find it interesting that someone... I think it's Chris that works, the cider maker at Walkmill, and he's so committed to doing cider the proper ways with Scottish apples... But it just surprises me in some respects that he's then gone and created this Iron Brew cider, which maybe it is just a kind of bit of a joke rather than trying to be serious.
He's got one that's half cider, half stout as well.
And that's true, yeah.
Which wasn't my thing at all. I drank it, I found it eventually drinkable after half the bottle.
Black Betty or something?
Black Betty, that was it.
I tried to drink
it. But it just didn't work.
Couldn't.
Yeah.
But this, Muckletoon Rosie, as a good dry cider.
We need to grade it.
100% Scottish. I mean, officially, they claim that they're the only... This is the only cider that is made with 100% Scottish apples. I said that already, haven't I?
Yes.
So what we're going to give it?
7.5. or 8. 7.5.
I'm going to go for 7.5 as well.
Okay. Good mark. Good mark for a good cider.
It is.
I think, to be honest, it's the only reason I'm probably getting 7.5. Our tastes are probably slightly sweeter than that is, but we still really like the cider and there's a lot of good things about it. So anyway, we'll move on to Hampshire. This is Laverstoke Park Farm medium dry cider.
So my auntie picked this up in her local butcher down in Hounslow.
Good on your auntie.
And it's a bit different, this one, because to sweeten it, it uses stevia.
Ah, yes. So that's the same thing that's in that new Coca-Cola.
Ah, that green one, that Life one.
Yep.
Ah, right.
So it's become a kind of, because there's a lot of artificial sweeteners around, but stevia is a kind of natural sweetener I could be totally off the mark here, but I think it's something like half the calories of sugar.
Well, apparently, it's got no calories.
Well, see, I'm not sure about that.
Apparently, it's no calories, no carbohydrates. It doesn't raise blood sugar levels either.
Are you talking about the cider or stevia?
Stevia.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll give it a go.
So what we got here, it's a slightly straw-coloured, quite kind of...
It still looks quite pure.
...looking. Bit fizzy.
Ooh.
Smells a bit... different.
That's interesting. It definitely tastes different.
Ooh. Ooh. I've not tasted anything like that before.
Do you know what it reminds me of? You know, bear with me here.
Mm? Bear with.
What's the cider from Perth called?
Kiernamore.
Now, you know Kiernamore, it's got that kind of sharp thing, but then it's got the sugar just really makes it very tart. It's sharp and then tart.
The tartness.
This is sharp, but it's got no tartness to it. Which I actually think makes it quite nice, because you get some of that, you get different ideas in your mouth going on without it being too overly sweet and tart. I'm assuming this must be a very non-traditional cider if there's no sugar in it, though.
Well, I mean, normally you don't add sugar, do you? Normally it's natural. Unless you're trying to make it sweet.
Well, this is what I don't understand. So the sugar, it's fructose that's naturally occurring in cider, yeah? So then, have they taken the sugar out of the cider and then added stevia?
No, they just won't have added... Because, I mean, so say you want a sweet cider, then you've got to make it sweeter, because ciders are naturally dry.
Ah, right.
So yeah, they've chosen to add stevia to try and make it a little bit sweeter.
Oh, okay, I see. So it's still got the natural kind of fructose in it.
Because stevia's not quite expensive.
Yeah, well, I think so. It's probably one of these things that's getting cheaper. Because I know it was a bigger craze in the United States a few years ago. It's probably more common here.
150 times sweeter than sugar, apparently.
Well, so they say.
But I mean, obviously you need 150 times less if you want the same amount.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, that. It's not...
It's different.
I'm not overly a fan of it.
Yeah, I'm not... I'm also going to give the points of being different, but not...
Well, the funny thing is, even though I'm saying it's missing that tartness... which is a good thing. It does feel like there's something else missing that just makes it...
Yeah.
It's quite a watery aftertaste almost.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But it's interesting, and on that basis I would give it a 6.5.
I'm going to give it a 6. Which sounds quite harsh, but no, I'm going to go for a 6.
6.25 is pass marks.
Quick fact, Laverstoke Park Farm was apparently set up by a Formula One racing driver.
Who was that?
Jody Schechter.
Jody Schechter.
Yeah, I think this is a long time ago.
Yeah, it sounds... Major, I'm not so much into Formula One, but I don't recognise a recent driver.
That's true. So you're the wrong person to... So thanks, Auntie Christine.
Thank you, Auntie Christine.
it's different. I've certainly not tasted anything like that. So
no.
It's, yeah.
But past mark, 6.25. Interesting. And something different. So next we go to Lazy Jacks from Woodshed Brewing.
This is one that we've mentioned on the show a couple of times. I remember when this was first announced, and it caught my eye because they first of all said that it was going to be an American-style cider, which I was immediately like, oh dear. The likes of your...
It's from Mississippi.
Angry Orchard and things. So yeah, but American-style. So yeah, I was thinking your Angry Orchard and what's the other one? They do a woodpecker one, something like that. But the thing that did get my hopes up about this cider is that they specifically said they were not going to be entering the fruity-flavoured part of the market.
Right.
So that made me think, okay, perhaps they'll stick with the proper Apple and perhaps they're going to be doing things a bit more real. Now, I don't know if they are, but this is cloudy, really kind of straw-coloured.
Wow.
Fizzy. Neil said, wow.
Sweet.
Doesn't smell of much.
It's much sweeter than you think it's going to be.
Oh. Oh, yes, that's just like sugar. Not stevia.
I quite like it. In a way, my first taste of it I thought was cheap, but I don't think it is cheap. By cheap, I mean kind of straightforward punch in the face sugar, but there's more to it than that.
I like it. I'm not getting much kind of appley-ness or cider-ness from it, though.
Hold on. This is definitely cider, not perry, because there's quite a bit of perry to this.
I see what you're saying about that kind of pear aspect of it, but it's definitely cider. Because they claim that they let the apples do all the work. So, sort of hinting that they might do things properly and not use actual concentrate. But
that tastes like perry.
Well, it's definitely apple.
Well, try that again, and if I said to you that was perry and give you a blind taste test.
No, definitely.
On that basis, I quite like it.
I think it's that sweetness about it. Do you know, this is an interesting one, because it's so sweet, but...
I don't think it is that sweet. It's sweet tasting, but I don't think it's... there's sweeter ciders.
Yeah, it has got that. I was saying initially that it was sweetened because it didn't have that much of the appleness, but it does have that kind of fruitiness, almost in a more of a pear aspect, like you're saying.
I tell you what, it's drinkable, though.
Certainly, yeah.
With fair fired through it.
I mean, it's only, was it 4.5%? 4.7%.
Yeah.
The Lazy Jacks. So this came from Tesco.
I like it, though.
And it's an interesting one.
I like it. It's not maybe something I would have all the time, but if I was to have a few bottles of them, I could rattle through them easy. Kind of thing you could easily have, I don't know, maybe say you've been having beer and then you want to move something else, you could have that. Or if you've just had maybe a couple of strong traditional ciders and you want something else, this would be good as well. I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I'm going 7.
The perry-flavoured cider.
I'm going 7, the perry-flavoured cider. Apparently you're meant to drink it out of the bottle, which we're not doing.
No.
Because that would be sharing a bottle.
It would, yes.
Okay. Well,
not bad.
Three completely different ciders so far.
I tell you what, though, that Lazy Jack, what did you give it, a 7 as well?
Yes.
Yeah, if we were to get that, if we saw that in a pub right now, we would get it, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And we'd be quite pleased with it.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the kind of cider, actually, I think a lot of pubs in Edinburgh would do well to sell. That kind of size.
Yeah. Is it 330ml bottle, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of...
355.
You and I have noticed probably over the last year or so, there's a lot of pubs in Edinburgh now, they try to do a bit more cider, but they get it just slightly wrong.
Yeah.
They go for a New Zealand or an Australian kind of fruity cider as their interesting cider of choice, rather than... I think that's a better option, because that would appeal to your Strongbow, not so much your Strongbows, your Copper Burgers and your people like that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as we'll get onto a bit later, I think this kind of sticking with apples but going more cloudy is becoming the kind of the trend, the way things are going in the big cider market world.
Well, that's good.
So, different one. Anyway. Right, onwards to Pilton.
Cider number four.
Pilton, Somerset Cave Cider. So yeah, just to confirm, this is Pilton in Somerset, not Pilton in Edinburgh.
Right.
As I doubt there are any cider producers in Pilton, Edinburgh.
Well,
so,
I'm sure there's somebody producing moonshine in a shed somewhere.
True. Nice champagne-style bottle here. Pop it open. Now, there's something a bit different about this cider. It is keeved. Which is an old English technique that is... Apparently it still happens in France, but isn't so much done in the UK at the moment.
So it's bottle conditioned.
So, well, the way it works, keeving, is that they squash up all the apples, mill the apples in the normal way, but they leave the pulp to stand for 24 hours.
Right.
They don't get the juice out of it straight away. They leave the pulp to stand, and that allows the pulp to oxidise and the pectins are released.
Right.
Then they press the pulp, and then they leave the juice to keeve for a few days. And what happens is you end up with this sludge at the top, this pectin gel.
Right.
So they extract the clear juice from the bottom. And what you end up with is a cider that is kind of partially fermented and still retains a lot of its kind of apple-y flavour, apparently.
Is that not the same thing that we were talking to Hugh about in the previous show? Because he was talking about how bottle-conditioned ciders, like French cider, are, like, they go around quite often just chopping off the top of the bottle.
That's right, he was on about that. Maybe, he didn't mention keeving.
Maybe that's just the traditional word for it, or maybe it's something slightly different.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it sounds and looks French.
Mature in the bottle. So it's certainly a nice golden colour. A bit fizzy. Oh, I'm not sure about the smell. It's almost kind of...
Yes, like a Norman cider.
Apple-y.
It tastes like a Norman cider. Tastes good. Tastes like a reasonably good Norman cider. Mm,
yeah, it's a bit more subtle in the kind of sweetness area, though. But there's something else going on. Hmm. So I picked this up in Booth's supermarket in the Lake District. However, the Guildford Arms, as of 3 days ago, has it on tap. So there's probably still some...
I reckon it will be very different on tap.
Yeah, that's true. It would be interesting.
You're not going to get a bottle condition. I mean, this is bottle conditioned, isn't it? The way with these kind of cork filled taps.
They do say they leave it to mature once bottled.
So it's probably a still version.
But yeah,
I mean, it's quite nice. But I reckon the one you'd get on draft would be very different. So I'm fairly sure we're talking about two different ciders essentially. But this is good. Tastes like some of the other Norman ciders we've had.
I like it. It's just lacking in a little way for me.
Yeah, maybe a bit. Maybe the English should be English and the French should be French.
Well, no, this is a traditional technique that the kind of the French still use.
Ah, right.
But because of the kind of industrial side in the UK, it's not that common over here.
Right.
I like this. I think I'm going to go for a 7.
I'll go... Yeah, fair enough, a 7.
Cool.
I've not got much more to say on it.
Very agreeable today. Yeah,
it's good. It's good, but I think the Norman ciders are slightly better and they taste similar, if that makes sense. The Breton ones are a bit more kind of scrumpy-ish-y and a bit sweeter usually.
Yeah, I think
they're better, but
I do like the extra sweetness. I mean, I think you will prefer this if you prefer your ciders slightly drier. But yeah, no, it's good.
Okay, well, reasonable progress today.
I don't think we could have found any 4 different tasting ciders.
No, we've done well.
4 completely different ciders.
Yeah, we've done very well, actually, today. Well, you've done well. I did no work for this podcast and did not buy any of these bottles. So what news, IT?
Oh, lots of news since we've been away. Let's start with some serious news first, in that cider makers are under threat.
Again?
I don't know if you saw this. It's that bloody European Commission.
Oh, the European Commission?
Yes. They have demanded that the British government get rid of a duty exemption that affects small-scale producers of cider and perry.
Was this duty exception not recently introduced?
No, this exception that we're talking about was introduced in 1976.
Well, I'm thinking of something entirely different.
So basically, the exemption is for cider makers who produce fewer than 70 hectolitres a year, which is about 12,000 pints.
Ah, right. You're small producers then.
Don't have to pay duty.
Right.
And the EC wants to scrap this, which basically means that your small cider producers will be 2.5 grams worse off every year.
And where did you read this article?
Which could affect. This is, it's all over. It's all over everywhere. Yeah,
where did you read the article?
Specifically, is in The Guardian.
Oh, in The Guardian?
Yes.
All right. You've preempted me here, haven't you?
So.
Did you actually read this in The Guardian, or did you read it in the Daily Mail? The Daily Express?
No, this is a big article. And because, I mean, NACM?
No.
Yes, we've spoken about NACM. You know NACM.
Oh, the National Association of Cider Makers.
Yes, there we go. You do know NACM. They calculate that it accounts for about 80% of the UK's 480 cider makers are going to be affected by this duty.
And the smaller ones that need help the most.
So, exactly. So there's a lot of them that basically, with this, they might just not bother anymore, or they'll go underground and start just selling it illegally to pubs and things. So it's all about the smaller ones. So NACM and Camra are gearing up for a fight, basically.
Right.
For the reasons why, some people are blaming it on the fellow winemakers who are jealous because there's no such exemption that they get.
But it must. There must be a. There'll be other places, maybe. I'm assuming maybe Applevine in Germany will be a. Like, do they have an exemption? Maybe that they might not be affected by it. This is the thing, that there's all sorts of. You only ever hear one side of the story when the European Commission does anything.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to get my political hat on, but I reckon there's more to this than meets the eye. And even The Guardian in this case is probably only concentrating on what seems like a plausible argument, why pick on the wee guy, but there'll be more to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, either way, even if there is more to it, there's still a whole load of cider makers in the UK that are going to be pissed by this and that could effectively go out of business.
Yeah.
So basically, I think the Treasury has a couple of months to respond to the EC, and we'll see what happens there. But perhaps an argument for leaving the Union?
No. No, it's not an argument for leaving the EU.
Let's not get political.
No. We've actually done relatively well to avoid being political.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially given recent events. Recent sad events. But anyway.
Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Westons is launching a cider in a can.
Are we talking a 330 can or a 500
ml? Yes, I think it's going to be 330. Now, which, it's because...
Strongbow serves cider in a can.
Yeah, exactly. Typically in the UK, cider in a can is...
Scumpy Jacks.
Is crap cider. I noticed in America there was a couple of ciders that were regarded as being decent ones that were in cans, like bigger cans. But it's a first, because apparently the craft beer market in the UK is starting to use cans a lot more. And they say it basically protects the cider from light, unlike what a bottle does, which is why with your clear bottles you're meant to keep them out of direct sunlight, for example.
But what effect does light have in cider?
I'm sure we've touched on this in the past. It
discolours it.
No, it does. It does affect it. You'll see on a lot of cider bottles it will say "keep me out of direct sunlight," for example, and that's why you get brown bottles, is to try and basically stop the light affecting the drink. But initially, this cider that the Westons is launching is going to be aimed at restaurants. It's a 5.2% called Capel Road. So keep an eye out for it. But I think it might be the first of many, is my guess.
Do you buy Westons cider these days for yourself?
Not really. Well, no, actually, no, I do like a Wildwood.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but
my local shop sells Wildwood cider. I'll happily pick up a few of them whenever I'm over there.
Yeah, but given the choice of, like, even in Tesco's these days, so Tesco's would have all your Westons, but I would go for something else.
Well, yeah, if there's something better, then definitely.
But it's, I'm talking about things that are, like, even your Orchard Pigs, for instance.
Mm.
I would always go for that. Or a Henny's instead of a Westons. Mm. So on that basis, I'm never going to buy a Westons.
Henny's, in fact, I found, you know Henny's Vintage, the dark bottles?
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen for a long time, but...
We preferred that one to the Henny's Dry, didn't we?
Sainsbury's in Craigleith are selling Henny's Vintage.
All right.
At the moment. I picked up a couple of bottles, and I like it a lot. I remember, I think I sort of preferred it, because it was still, compared to the Henny's Dry. But I wasn't too sure about flavour-wise, but now, actually, trying it again a couple of years on, and I do like this stuff. So, anyway, we're retracting a bit. Westons, yes, Westons. Cider in a can. Keep your eyes out for it.
Yep.
Moving on, One Direction.
The band.
We've not mentioned One Direction on the show before.
No.
But
are you sure? You've pulled some bizarre news articles and tangential points from...
And this is probably going to be one of them.
Right.
One Direction have forced the camera to cancel the Great Welsh Beer and Cider Festival this year.
Why is that?
Because the Great Welsh Beer and Cider Festival was going to be at the Millennium Stadium on the 6th of June. But One Direction have come along and added a second date and have basically forced them to cancel the festival.
Well, what you should do is on the Twitter.
Yeah.
See on Twitter if you've got the balls to have a go at One Direction. Let's try that.
We should
watch us get an avalanche of abuse from screaming 15-year-old girls.
All listeners, we want you to campaign against One Direction's cancellation of the Great Welsh Beer Cider Festival. We need a hashtag for this.
Hashtag fuck One Direction.
That's not cider in it.
Okay. Well, we'll think of a hashtag, and then we'll
and then we'll let it all kick off.
We'll let it all kick off, and okay. We'll get hate mail and all sorts of abuse thrown at us. The more the merrier.
At least camera might be kind to us. Anyway, moving on. Spider.
Spider.
Can you remember what spider is?
Spider is an American creation that is similar to cider, but is... Or is it a mix of cider and pear?
No.
Or is that sizor?
I think you're thinking of pider.
Pider or sizor.
Oh, sizor. But we're talking about spider.
No.
Spirit cider. We have mentioned it on the show.
Oh, I've had one of them. I had one that was a tequila-based cider.
Oh, yeah, that Mongozo or something like that. That's the beer I'm thinking of.
No, that's a banana beer and coconut beer. This I can't remember what it was called, but it was at first glance it was a Mexican cider, but then it was essentially just an alcopop that was tequila with a bit of cider mixed in it.
And I think there was an amaretto one that we mentioned on the show in the past. Anyway, Magnus is launching a spider.
Is it? But it already does some things like, because it had its special edition range.
It had the special editions, yeah.
Which I quite liked.
There were flavours.
I remember back in the days when I didn't know much about cider, I really liked
it. Spiced apple and things, they were really different.
Because I don't like Magnus, right? But I did like their special edition ones.
Well, I think you'll be up for trying this one. This is 5.5%, and it is Magnus with a 25 milliliter measure of Irish whiskey in each bottle.
Not sure about that. I would try it.
Exactly.
I tend to not drink Irish whiskey on a point of principle.
Yeah. I hate that. But it's Magnus. It's obviously good.
Well, I would try Bushmills. That's the good Irish whiskey.
Okay. Well, I don't know what Irish whiskey they put in their bottles, but I doubt it's
It's Bushmills.
Okay. Apparently it's available in Asda. So keep your eyes out in Asda, because Asda have always been the worst for cider. And I suppose by stocking Magnus with Irish whiskey, it's not really going to make themselves a better cider stocker. But it will be interesting to try. 25 ml of measure of Irish whiskey stuck in each bottle. Maybe it'll make the Magnus taste better. Anyway, moving on. We're going through all the mainstream brands in this time's news. Strongbow.
Yeah.
Is launching a posh version.
So by what they mean posh is something that's not like a sawdust shavings fizzy water combination, which is what they usually produce.
It's going to be early in May, and it's going to be called Strongbow Cloudy Apple.
I think they're just all wrong. They clearly make money with their normal cider. Good cider drinkers are not going to go to Strongbow on point of principle.
No, I
think they're making.
But I don't think they're going from that. I don't think they're trying to get good cider drinkers. I think they can go the other way. The marketing director of Strongbow, he said that the trend is moving away from fruity ciders with renewed interest in traditional apple and pear ciders. So you can see this Lazy Jack's American Cloudy Cider. Thatcher's are also introducing a new Cloudy 4.5% cider. So I think it's more for those that are maybe Strongbow drinkers originally, or your fruity cider drinkers that might want to try something. That seems to be where the market is going. Now, I think that's good, because if we're moving away from the fruity side of things and we are going into the cloudy ones, then the next step is naturally onto your better cloudy ones.
No, I agree with you. The trend is good, but I think Strongbow are probably shooting themselves in the foot a wee bit, because the more the trend, the more they encourage that trend, the more people are going to move away from Strongbow altogether.
True, true.
Which I don't see as a bad thing, but... I don't know if it's a wise strategic thing for the business. Maybe it is. I don't know.
So it'll be interesting to try, but I'm not really putting my hopes up for anything decent coming from the Strongbow.
But you see, I think maybe without getting bogged down in the minutiae again, I think it's more to it than just a traditional cloudy cider. It's just get a good cider that's not full of artificial shit.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't need to be like bang on the camera spec or bang on ye olde English scrumpy. It just needs to be like good cider with relatively, more traditional techniques, the better. But I don't know. You don't want to get too bogged down in these definitions, I don't think.
No, I know. But we'll see. Finally, camera.
Yep.
A friend of the show, Graham Rose, has been in touch.
Oh, has he?
To let us know that the camera vouchers that you get when you're a member now give you 50p off real cider as well as real ale.
So,
which is pretty much about time, to be honest.
How many vouchers do you get when you join the camp?
I don't actually know.
You didn't ask him this?
No. All I know is that I think you get, do you get an allowance every year or you get them monthly or something like that? And you get a handful of vouchers, and normally like Wetherspoons and stuff, you can get 50p off your pint of real ale. But I mean, it surprises me that it's taken this long really to include real cider in their vouchers. But it's only a good sign.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, it might even tempt me to sign up to Camera.
It's still seen as the poor relation in Camera though, isn't it? Between beer and cider.
Yeah, but they're I think they're slowly getting there. There's been a few things recently over the last year or so that Camera have been kind of shown that they are starting to care a bit more about cider. I mean, we'll see how they get on with Nakamu and this duty exemption, because apparently they're not happy about that. And from what I understand, that only affects cider and not beer, the duty exemption. So yeah, we can see.
I don't quite understand that, because cider is more expensive than beer, duty-wise. Oh, but it is just the smaller producers, isn't it? So
yeah, that exemption, yeah.
But they're probably charging the same RRP, but they'll just take the excess in profits because they frankly need it. Yeah, they need a bigger margin, don't they?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
So that's all the news for this time around.
Do we have? We're not going to talk about any pubs we've visited recently because.
I think we do need to touch, because we went out before, and we stumbled across that place. Remember, we were going to go into the Blind Poet. Because they have a range of Westerns, which last time we were in there were hideously overpriced.
Are you talking about when we went out with Hugh after last month's show?
No, I don't think we've talked about this on the show. But it was kind of a bit packed in the Blind Poet. So we stood outside thinking, where should we go next? And literally then realised we were standing next to this lit-up doorway, which looked all new, and thought, what's in here? Turned out a new pub, and they had a cider that we'd never heard of before. Do you remember this?
No, I cannot remember any of this.
Right.
I can't even remember standing outside the Blind Poet.
Okay, let's see if I can jog your memory.
The Blind Poet's the pub with the listening room.
No, hold on, not the Blind. You're thinking of, that's the Blue Blazer.
Oh yeah, it's the Blue Blazer, yeah.
The Blind Poet is the one which has the expensive Westerns.
What street are we talking about here?
We're talking out Southside.
Ah, yes.
Right, okay, we're getting there. Now, you remember outside there, and there was this new place called Andrew Usher and Company. And you went downstairs.
Ah, yes, right. I remember now.
We've got there.
I remember.
And they had these bottles of Original Sin cider.
Yes, I remember that.
So we tried a couple of them, which frankly, I've seen them since in The Red Squirrel. Original Sin. But again, I think Original Sin tastes kind of what I was expecting this Lazy Jacks to be like. Just nothing special, just kind of fizzy and a bit of an artificial kind of apple-y taste, from what I remember. But they also had Orchard Pig Charmer and a lot of craft beer, from what I remember. They're one of these places with a big craft beer chalkboard on the wall.
Yeah.
So quite a cool place.
Yeah, it was quite student-y, but not so much the pub itself, more just full of students.
Yeah, true. I mean, it is that kind of area, isn't it?
But just, maybe this is a sign of the times.
But if you like craft beer, I don't know. But anyway.
If you like students.
Let's not go there. Moving on. I thought we'd just touch, because there's been a few good finds recently in Edinburgh, so I thought we'd just touch on those. I've already mentioned that Guildford Arms has currently got Pilton on. Before then, they had a couple of former gyms, I think it was.
Yeah.
And also, they had the Muckleton Rosie, as we mentioned on the last show.
They did, yeah.
So the Guildford Arms is doing good. It's having one kind of guest cider on.
Yeah, I think it's recently proven that it's now the second best cider pub in Edinburgh. In my view.
Yeah, if it's always... What I'm not sure is if they're always going to have...
Well, it's a rotating real cider. And they also usually have Orchard Pig in bottles.
Yeah.
And they do try to keep attention to what's going on inside. And they always let us know as well.
Yeah.
Kudos to them for that. So I'm becoming big fans. And the good thing is, it's a very easy pub for listeners who are visiting Edinburgh to go to. It's literally across the road from Waverley Station.
Yes, that's true. It is quite kind of... It's hidden out of the way a wee bit because you go around the back of the new Apple store.
We've just contradicted ourselves there. But yes, it's... If you walk out of Waverley Station onto Princess Street, you cross the road and then you just... You'll see a little alleyway. It's just 10 seconds away.
Round the back of the Apple store.
Round the back of the Apple store.
Just kind of apt in a way to find some cider.
It's not. It's...
A few other places. Earthy. You were in Earthy. Cannon Mills.
Yes, not far from where I live.
A few weeks ago. And they had quite a nice... They had a few Perries. And did they have a French? What did they have a French? Did they have a French one?
Yeah, they had a French one, which I was meant to bring tonight, and I forgot.
Yeah.
And they had a vast array of.
They also had.
This is a shop. This is a shop, incidentally, not a pub.
I should have mentioned. Earthy. You sort of call it a farm shop in a way, would you?
I suppose in a way. I think it's got a little cafe in there that I wasn't sitting down for.
Okay.
Something to eat or anything like that.
Looking at the photo that you sent me when you were in there, they do, or at least did, sell this Pilton that we've just tried.
Yeah, because I was going to buy that. That's why I recognised it. Because I was going to buy that, but then I texted the picture to you, and then
I've already got it. So will you be going and buying a bottle of that if they still have it?
No. No. And this is me being picky. It's just because I've actually got quite a few good options now of places I can buy good cider in Cannon Mills.
Where else?
Well, there's a little pub just down the stairs from my flat called Beer Hive, is it?
Okay.
I got that New Zealand cider from
there. Oh, there's a shop, you mean, not a pub?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. The shop.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's true. They have
it does some good stuff. And yeah, if I was going back to the earthy place, I would get the Perry's cider.
Oh, right, interesting. I've had a lot of Perry's, but saying that, because they have got the Somerset Red Streak, this Tremlet, and then there's also this sweet one.
Yeah, but it's in a box. It's in a little gift pack. Which I've given to you as a present.
You kindly bought me a gift pack of Perry's cider, which I'm very grateful for.
Yes.
If they, hopefully they do continue to kind of stock a decent range of earthies. I'm not sure if it's a one-off, but hopefully they do. Appalachian Wines, we've already mentioned Comley Bank. They sell Wort Mills. And I think he said that they also had some smaller French ones in, which was probably the little bottle that we tried on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice. So occasionally they do have good ones in. And then, yeah, Sainsbury's Henny's Vintage, which was quite a nice spot compared to Edinburgh. And lastly, Growler Beers has got a couple of good ciders in at the moment.
Which ones?
They've got Sanford Orchard Devon Scrumpy on.
A fine cider.
And Waiting in the Wings, I believe there's also Moonshine from Broad Oak, which I don't believe we've ever tried.
Moonshine. Okay. A cider called Moonshine sounds interesting. Let's make that one a Friday night or a Saturday night show.
So you get yourself down to Growler Beers at Morningside. I mean, Devon Scrumpy, we do like Devon Scrumpy. What's it called? Brewdog.
I think the Sanford Orchard's Devon Red is a very good cider. I think the Devon Scrumpy is a top class cider.
That empty growler in my kitchen used to be full of Devon Scrumpy.
All right.
He's jealous now.
Because we've not had that one in the show. We've had Sanford Orchard's, the Devon Red one, sorry, in the show, but we've not had the Scrumpy.
No, I need to try and get some moonshine for the next show.
Yeah, that's the kind of cider I might even order in. Yeah. Like, just get 12 bottles of it, because it's just seriously good stuff.
Okay. That's our roundup
of what
tips in Edinburgh. Actually, yeah. It's growing, because like there's a whole range of places we can recommend now.
Shops, bars, farm cafes,
finding cider, which
all sorts of things are going on. The Edinburgh cider scene is growing.
It is,
and we've played our part in that.
I like to think so.
Any other correspondence or anything to mention?
No, I think I've mentioned all the bits throughout the show.
It's kind of tied into the what's been out and about in Edinburgh.
Aye.
Everything's merging into one now, IT. Our work is almost done.
It is. It is almost done, as we're coming up for our 30th show.
Our 30th show. Coincidentally, we both turn 30 soon as well.
That's true.
So we're probably not going to combine the two or three events in one, because we can't think of a salient way to do that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we'll have some kind of significant thing to mark all occasions. I don't know what form that will take.
Well, we'll see. If you've got any suggestions, let us know. At our usual addresses, theorchard@ciderview.com.
Twitter @ciderview.
And everything else.
And all sorts.
Including carrier pigeon. Right, anyway, we're rattling on. I think that'll do us for this time around. So hopefully we'll see you probably in a couple of months, if we're being honest.
For episode 30. So goodbye and good night.
Farewell.